Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Not knowing anything about how the IT world works, it is crazy to me that we rely on, and we, I'm not talking about us as a com, I'm talking about we as a society, rely on one vendor, basically, to provide this for Microsoft or whoever, and it allowed everything to just shut down. Need a check on that. Anyway, that's my little rant. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about with IT, but there you go. 913-586-7610. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Here's what we got planned. It's just Drew and I till about 12:30. Jake Eisenberg comes in at 12:30, one of the voices of the Royals. Going to talk second half of the season with Jake. We haven't had him in studio before, so I'm excited for that. And then in the 1 o'clock hour, well, it's Club 610. We do this every Friday. This is going to be a jam-packed Club 610. Dusty's actually coming back at 1 o'clock today for Club 610. He's making the cocktail, and it's something called liquid marijuana, and that is by request. We have someone making their first appearance in Club 610 today. Cheyenne, who works in our sales department downstairs, she happened to be up here, I don't know, what was that, on Tuesday, settled a debate about some artist, Train, I think it was, a song from Train.
Yes.
And she got the invite. So she's coming in. Aaron Ladd from 41. I probably should send him a text to remind him. He's coming in studio today.
He did text me yesterday, Club 610 tomorrow, question mark. I said, yes, we're good to go.
Okay. So that's the plan today when it comes to that. Also, training camp going on. Veterans are getting the day off today. Like Mahomes isn't even practicing. Carson Wentz, Leo Chenault. The veterans that are part of that. The rest is just rookies today. At some point, Mark Donovan, president of the Chiefs, is expected to speak. We'll play you the best of that. I'll be honest, it's the open training camp press conference where they talk about how great Mo West is and welcoming and all this. Look, which is good for them. We don't need to carry that live. So we'll let you know if there's anything significant from that. I would imagine. I am like 99.9% sure he's going to get asked about the stadium stuff.
As he probably should be asked.
That's all I care about out of this press conference today. So when and if he speaks on the Chiefs' current status stadium-wise in Kansas City, both on the Missouri or Kansas side, We'll bring you some of that. Should happen maybe in the 11 o'clock hour today. So that's kind of what we got planned. And yes, as the text line has, multiple people have texted in, says, cannot wait till Tuesday. Finally got to play college football 25. Got absolutely cooked. It's a tough game. We do have our tournament on Tuesday, though. We have our college football tournament at Hy-Vee Arena with Level Up.
KU for you?
On Tuesday. I'm leaning in that direction. I'm definitely leaning in that direction. I've played it since Monday afternoon. I've used 4 or 5 teams. And that text that says they got absolutely cooked, anybody that's played the game knows exactly what you're talking about. There's a learning curve. If you're jumping into our tournament on Tuesday, I'll be honest, and you haven't played a single game of the new game, you're going to be in big trouble.
Dusty,
and that's not because I'm not saying I'm good on the game. I'm saying that there's a learning curve because they've redone the game. So you're, if you're Dusty, if you're Cody, who I know neither one is going to play the game before, that's a problem for you.
Good luck.
That's a problem for you. That's all I'm saying. I'm not claiming I'm winning the tournament by any means, but it'll be a problem. And whoever matches up with you guys is in a good spot to advance. Anyway, we'll talk more college football tournament on Tuesday when we're out at Hy-Vee Arena. But I want to talk Royals. Second half starts tonight. Homestand, 9 games out at Kauffman Stadium, which is a great thing, right? Because this team has been so great at home. 31-18 in the first half of the season. At home for the Royals, right? The friendly confines of Kauffman Stadium have been just that. And you like beginning the second half, not only at home, but a lighter schedule. You get the White Sox this weekend, the Arizona Diamondbacks early next week. Tonight, you got the Michael Garcia bobblehead. Weather's pretty decent, too, for the weekend. Hopefully, good crowds after a lull in sports the last couple of days that make their way out to Kauffman Stadium. And this is a huge, huge stretch, not only because of how good you've been at home, but we know the status of the playoff race right now. In your own division, you're 7 back of the Guardians. I don't need to go back into my thoughts on the divisional race. You guys, if you've been listening at all for the last 2 weeks even, know my stance on the Central. I really don't want to talk about it. It's all about the wild card for me. 2 games back in the wild card race. And so you need to be able to get out of the gate strong here and set the tone really for the second half. You get off strong, finish the month strong. Trade deadline is a week and a half or so away, and feel good heading into the month of August and be within not only striking distance like you are for the wild card 2 games back, but can you actually be in a position with a 9-game stretch at home where, I'll be greedy. Can you find a way to win 5 of these? I don't think that's asking for much. Can you be above 500? Maybe even greedier than that. And the White Sox are a sweep potential team. It's tough to sweep anybody in baseball. The best team in baseball is still going to lose 110 games or whatever it is. Or not 110 games, 60 games or 50 games. But you have an opportunity to get this second half start on the right foot. And I think that's what the Royals are going to be able to do for this weekend series against Chicago. But we know with the trade deadline, last year was a completely different story, right? There were rumblings on, would the Royals be willing to trade some key pieces of the franchise? Versus now we're discussing, will they make another move to go acquire a bullpen arm, to go acquire a bat? And I saw that The Athletic had an article and some comments from Salvador Perez and J.J. Piccolo. It was Rustin Dodd, who used to work here in Kansas City, but he now works at The Athletic. And it was about Salvador Perez. And some of this we had heard before. It wasn't all brand new information, but it reminds us of where this organization was a year ago. So in this article, it said Salvador Perez was willing to go to the Texas Rangers last year at the deadline. He and the Royals are glad it didn't happen. Remember last year, they were on their way to 106 losses. Perez said, yes, he'd be willing to be traded at that point in time. Quote, sometimes you get frustrated. I was trying to make it to the playoffs again. I'm getting older. I tried to be honest with myself. As it points out in the article, we all know the deal never actually materialized. And there was the rumor about maybe Salvi willing to go to Miami last year, the Royals and the Marlins. He lives down there. So there was a natural connection. And J.J. Piccolo was quoted in this article and said, quote, if we had traded him, we still would have wanted to be more competitive, referencing this offseason, but it might have been a little bit more long range. Perez's concern was the team's ability to compete short term. Piccolo, in broaching the possibility of a trade, recalled Perez asking, quote, how quickly do you think we can win? I'm not going to lie to you about it. A lot of stuff has to go right. Again, some of these comments were known before. We have heard JJ talk about this publicly before, but it got me thinking, and this is always fun, the what if game a little bit on how things played out. Fortunately, the Royals are sitting here just a few wins away from their entire win total a season ago. They're 4 wins away from matching that. We already know, as we said, 2 games back in the wild card race. They were aggressive in the offseason, their highest payroll since 2018. They go and sign Seth Lugo. All of that, though, does any of that happen if what Salvador Perez agreed to be open to last year at the trade deadline, do they still have this same position? If Salvi was traded last year, Drew, do they still sign Seth Lugo? Does Bobby Witt Jr. himself sign long-term? Because when Bobby Witt Jr. signed the contract right around Super Bowl week this February, we all said, hey, as much as it is the Royals being willing to pay the money, which they were, it also has to be Bobby Witt Jr. believing in the organization.
Right.
And prior to that, they made the moves, right? They signed Lugo, they did these other things. So if back up to last July, as this article mentions, if they would have traded Salvi, do you think either of those happened? Do they sign Seth Lugo? And do they get a long-term deal done with Bobby Witt Jr.? Because I think one of them happens still.
I think Lugo still happens. I don't know if Bobby Witt happens. And that might be because you would lose, while the locker room is still young, and they've got a young nucleus and all that stuff with Vinny and Bobby, et cetera, you lose the guy, you know, the captain of the team that kind of isn't the glue that holds it together necessarily, but he's the guy that he's the OG. You lose that presence in the locker room and you lose the presence in the clubhouse. And not that that would be the end all be all for Bobby, but them being competitive and hearing, you know, reading in the article, JJ saying, look, it would be more long-term competitiveness than trying to get to where they are this year. That's not what Bobby would want to hear, I don't think. Where, yeah, they're making the move for Lugo and Waka and obviously keeping Salvi, I think all of that combines into, plus Bobby liking it here, him signing. I don't think Bobby signs. I don't think he would have signed the contract going into this year had Salvi been traded. And there would have been a lot more questions surrounding Bobby's future here, at least with Salvi not being signed. I still think they get Lugo. I don't know if you think the opposite.
Yeah, look, so I think if you were Bobby Witt Jr. at that point in time and they had just traded away, let's say, Salvador Perez, but they had still got out earlier in the offseason and signed Seth Lugo, I don't know if it actually would have changed the signing of Bobby Witt Jr. to a long-term extension. I think it would have been a little bit more up in the air, perhaps. Like, none of us know the answer to that, Drew, so I'm not saying you're wrong. I tend to not think so, because if the offseason was just as aggressive as it was, that, to me, was the message that you needed to send to Bobby Witt Jr. Now, if it's a trickle-down effect, if they would not have signed Seth Lugo and they would not have got to the payroll level that they are at right now, then I think that would have had the trickle-down effect to Bobby Witt Jr. not signing the extension. But Salvador Perez not getting traded has a ramification of that, perhaps, but also his own legacy, right? If Salvador Perez was traded to the Rangers last year, as this article suggests that perhaps there was maybe some conversation, Salvador Perez has two rings. Like, we don't know if the Rangers would have won the World Series with Salvi, but why wouldn't they?
Say they did. Is he locked in?
He would have had two rings. I think so. He would have had two rings. Now, how much does the voters view staying with one team? Not as much as having a second ring, but I do think, because it's so rare in today's day and age of baseball, if Salvador Perez, and it looks like he will, finishes his career with one team, the original team that brought him up into the big leagues in the Royals, I think that's something that people should value in a Hall of Fame case, not to mention the other accolades that he has. But if you had a second ring already, that would have weighed way more heavily. So I actually think it was an unselfish thing to do for Salvador Perez, of course, to be open about the Rangers, but also ultimately not get traded to the Miami Marlins. And now we all know in Kansas City, he's been goated for a long time after the 2014-2015 season. But him staying with this organization the way he has forever cemented his legacy in Kansas City. But I do wonder if he would have had that second ring with the Rangers last year, if he would have already been considered a Hall of Famer.
Well, I think the being able to maintain the tough years, like in this article towards the bottom, Salvador said he's super happy. Everything in the big leagues is about making it to the playoffs. And after we won the World Series, it was kind of tough the last 7 years. But this year, we got a lot of opportunity with the new guys. I think we're going to make it this year. For him to get through the tough years after having won the World Series and getting back to the playoffs, and him still maintaining his level of play through the bad years, I think it goes to show you, I guess, the individual that he is. Not that people are put in the Hall of Fame on merit, but if there was any sport that does include the character of players in their voting process, it's Major League Baseball more than any other. And I think that only helps Salvi's case when you're looking at him not requesting a trade through this process, being able to wait it out, wanting to stay here and still being able to come out on the other side if they do make the playoffs this year. If he stays, if he's there here next year and they do the same thing again, you know, being able to hang in there amidst the other stuff, I think that it helps his case a little bit just because of the way that the Hall of Fame process seems to work, at least in baseball.
The other part of this article from The Athletic was talking about Brady Singer. So there is a note about Salvador Perez, but also mentioned that last year the Rangers were actually really interested in Singer. So it says the Royals, according to sources from both teams who were briefed on the talks, told the Rangers that to move Singer, they would need to attach Perez and get back another controllable starter, righty John Gray. The Rangers were not interested in such a deal, ended up, as we all know, going out and acquiring Max Scherzer and Jordan Montgomery instead, and that turned out very well for the Rangers. But the Brady Singer point is one that I actually think has way more legs in terms of still this upcoming offseason. Not the trade deadline now. This team is two games back of a wild card spot. And when you look at this rotation and the innings and everything like that, I know Brady Singer's last outing wasn't good, but he had a great first half of the season. That'll be the name to watch in the offseason. So whether I'm not saying he's going to the Rangers in the offseason, but that would be the name that's interesting if you look at the rotation long term. Where suddenly next year, could Chris Bubich go back into the rotation? Could Kyle Wright be in the rotation? In spring, they actually will have more options potentially that could you make a move to bring back? You got to be transactional. You got to make the tough decisions and tough trades. Even a good player you move to get multiple good pieces to help another area maybe where you're at. I think that will be the name. It's mentioned in this article from last year, but that'll be the name this offseason to watch because Brady Singer's been fantastic and there is value out there on the market for him.
That was Vern's, I think, point of, hey, a name to watch. And he mentioned it. I think it was on our show a couple weeks ago. Was, hey, a name to watch is Brady Singer, because if Alec Marsh continues to pitch the way that he was at the time and all that stuff, maybe the Royals feel like, hey, we can move Brady now, move Alec Marsh into his spot and try to get something now for Brady. To your point, I think I agree. They're just going to keep the rotation the way that it is because it's been the backbone of the team to this point. But going into next year, if you feel comfortable, like, hey, Alec Marsh can be a legitimate starter for this team. And while Brady's fine and we appreciate what he's done, we see maybe other areas that we can improve using Brady to do so. I think Vern hit it on the head then. You're hitting it on the head now. If Brady's that guy, not that he's the odd man out in this situation, but if there was a guy that they were going to deal who's more of a, I guess, a higher name that's not in the farm system, it'd be Brady Singer. At least it seems that way right now.
We'll talk some more Royals a little bit later on in the show, including in about 45 minutes about this month of September and just how special it can be for all sports in this town. If you step back and take a glance at that, we're also about 15 minutes away from some comments that Jerome Tang, K-State men's basketball coach, made to CDOT yesterday. You guys know Carrington's been doing a great job with all three local schools this week. K-State takeover day was yesterday. It was KU before Missouri earlier in the week. All those interviews are up on 610sports.com, but they had Jerome Tang on because Chris Kleiman's schedule wasn't working at this particular time, so they wanted to still have a coach on, and they asked Jerome Tang about his future a little bit, and it reminded me of a question we all asked ourselves just a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it's funny to think about how different I think our answers are now. So we'll do that coming up in just a little bit. But the Chiefs, as I mentioned, have veterans reporting today, so you'll see more video of vets driving up and carrying in, I don't know, a microwave or a flat screen TV to be able to play the college football video game or something like that, and then practice with the team starts this weekend and then pads eventually next week. We'll be up in St. Joe on Monday. And on Sunday, though, guys, when you even have just the jerseys on and shells, whatever you want to call it, Sunday, who's out there at left tackle is going to tell us a ton with the first team. We have talked plenty about Kingsley Suamataia and Wanya Morris. Remember, Kingsley's been working with the rookies all week. Wanya's not there yet, but he played in four games last year, so he already has a better grasp, you would assume, of the playbook. But don't you think we could flat out know who the starting tackle is on Sunday? Like, not even just in practice. Unless Kingsley were to fall on his face on Sunday. If he's out there with the first team group, it's his job to lose, right? Completely his job to lose. If Wanya Morris is out there on Sunday with the first team, I don't think it's his job to lose, but it's a full-on battle the way we've all kind of talked about it. But if they're already putting Kingsley out with the ones on Sunday, even without pads, doesn't that tell us everything about the situation? For it to be a true battle, I think it has to be Wanye out there on Sunday with the ones.
Yeah, I agree. I think in having Nate, you know, talk about it a little bit yesterday when you guys had him on, I think that the Chiefs are going to give Kingsley, they want him to win the job. They're going to give him, as we said yesterday, any opportunity, every opportunity to win the job. Not, I think they want him to win it because, one, they spent the draft pick on him, but two, they can almost skip the transition period that some people have to the NFL from college, because his potential is so high, but he's such a raw prospect where if he can figure it out enough to get to the starting job and they feel comfortable in that role, he can maybe reach that potential a little bit sooner than having to wait through or having to continue to battle and more of it being more of a question mark. If he can solidify himself, and even yesterday when we played the audio, he said one of the biggest challenge for him is learning the playbook. He feels like as soon as he can learn the playbook, he can just let his athletic talent take over for itself. He doesn't have to think too much. He's used to everything that Creed is saying directionally, Patrick Mahomes talking. If he can get that down, then it's going to be icing on the cake, because his athletic ability is so high that he's just going to let the play do itself. It's just a matter of learning the playbook, similar to what LRZ was kind of saying as well.
Here's some of what Nate Taylor told us yesterday on that left tackle job. I'm not going to play the full cut, but this is just how we asked Nate Taylor and his answer. He's been up at camp already and how he perceives the left tackle job. And as you were saying, Drew, as well, just, they're going to give Kingsley every opportunity.
It's such a good question, Jay, because I don't think I even know the answer, but I have a good estimation, a good sort of theory as to what might happen on Sunday, right? That'll be the place that everybody should look if you're going to come here to St. Joseph for the first open practice for fans. Okay, who's the first team left tackle? Now, I want to remind people, a couple years ago, we had similar questions about center and especially right guard, because obviously Trey Smith was a low-round pick, even though his talent suggests that he should not have been taken in the second round. And then, of course, your top pick, or one of your top picks, I should say, was Creed Humphrey. Andy Reid didn't have a rotation. Those two guys started, even though Laurent Duvernay-Tardif came back after serving, you know, the front lines of being a doctor and trying his best to help his people up north during COVID, Trey Smith took every first-team rep. Creed Humphrey took every first-team rep. I wonder, will there be a replication of that on Sunday?
That's the question, and that I think it'll tell us a lot. It's going to tell us a ton on Sunday. So yeah, if you're a Chiefs fan that's heading up to camp, that actually, if you're thinking of the few spots that are truly up for grabs, left tackle is really, really the only true spot other than maybe number two corner. I guess if you want to go much further down the depth chart, I really have no interest in talking about who's going to win the third string running back job on day one of camp or anything like that.
Yeah.
But starting spot, the only one up for grabs is left tackle.
Let's say Kingsley, let's say he starts on Sunday. Mm-hmm. He's with the first teams. 1 week into the preseason, we know, okay, Kingsley's the guy. They're going to roll with him. Do you use Wanye as a swing tackle, or do you potentially get him used to the reps at guard? So in the instance that Trey Smith is not signed long term after this year, mm-hmm. Wanye can maybe fill that role, or you could find a way to find guard. But I think Wanye is a guy that can be either a swing tackle, or they can mix him in at guard too.
Yeah, I think he's going to give them a ton of flexibility. We know Andy Reid and Andy Heck, for that matter, the offensive line coach, they love having linemen that are flexible and can play in multiple spots. And, you know, they draft the rookie who we heard from yesterday, Norzad or whatever. And Nick Allegretti's now in D.C. So you need to have some other guys that are flexible. Yeah, I think that's the fallback, if you will, for Wanye Morris, based off of what we saw in four games last year and the comments before the draft. I think it was pretty evident that they were not disappointed necessarily in what they got from Wanye, but they certainly weren't blown away enough to where they didn't think they needed to spend a high draft pick. I know they got Kingsley in the second round, but let's not forget. I mean, a lot of people thought he was a first round talent. A lot of people thought the Chiefs were going to draft him at pick 32
or anybody or like any tackle. I mean, that was the thing, is that, you know, do they take tackle? Do they take wide receiver? And tackle was absolutely in the conversation. That I think while Wanye gave you some good reps and, you know, some, had some question marks as well. It wasn't enough for the Chiefs to feel like they could use Wanye as the guy going forward. They felt they had to go and get somebody in the higher rounds. I mean, that might be all you needed to... That it didn't matter who they took. They were going to give them every opportunity, whether it was Kingsley, whether it was anybody else. They were always going to give, I think, that person the most opportunity to win the job because they spent the pick on him. They want to try to solidify the left tackle spot because, in a way, hasn't been spot starting, but it's the position's kind of been up in the air. You know, is it Wanye? Is it Kingsley? It was Donovan Smith last year. You know, you'd like to have a solidified, bona fide left tackle for the next 5 to 10 years without having any sort of battle or anything like that. Let's find the guy that can give Patrick Mahomes the protection for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, you want a long-term option. I don't know how many tackles are with their team beyond 5 years anymore in the NFL. There's a select few, right? I mean, unless you're talking about future Hall of Famer Trent Williams, I don't know the answer. I would imagine there's probably five or fewer left tackles that have been a left tackle for the same team for more than 5 years. It's just probably not all that realistic, but you're right in terms of a guy that for the next 3 to 4 years, at least
you feel comfortable with there's going to be no battle. We're not going to use a draft pick. Yeah.
So we'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the show, but up next, as I mentioned, Jerome Tang was on with CDOT yesterday. He said something about his future and why he decided to stay in K-State that brought back up a question we had a few years ago, and Major League Baseball is doing something that we asked them to do, which is very nice to finally see. We'll explain what that is next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Just getting started here on a Friday. Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you today. Reminder, coming up at 12:30, Jake Eisenberg of the Royals going to join us in studio. 1 o'clock hour, Club 610, as we do each and every Friday. And yeah, we're drinking something called liquid marijuana. Should be very interesting. That's an odd request,
yeah.
but it was requested, and Dusty has agreed to make that.
I believe it was
cocktail.
By Cheyenne as well, who was going to be in studio.
That's who it was. She gave, I think, Dusty two options of drinks, and that's the one we picked. I don't know what's in liquid marijuana, but we'll try it. We'll try it. Have you ever had that?
I have not. I did not know that was an actual drink.
We will all try that together then in the 1 o'clock hour today. Who knows what's going to happen? Aaron Ladd hasn't been in studio in a bit on our show, at least. So looking forward to talking with him. He joined a running club. I have questions.
Good for him.
Good for him. I have questions though. Running club.
I want to see if he's going to run. Like, is he training for 5Ks or 10Ks?
Is he trying to go run the Boston Marathon in a couple of years? What's going on? Is he just want to meet people? That's great. Like, props to him. It sounds healthy. It sounds good.
Well, you got to also eat healthy as well. I mean,
I don't know his eating habits. I have no idea. We'll find this all out when Aaron joins us in the 1 o'clock hour. I know he's already been up at training camp a couple days, so we'll talk some camp with him as well. I mentioned that Carrington had Jerome Tang on his show yesterday because they've been doing these takeover days all week for the different local schools. And Jerome Tang was on with Chris Kleiman on vacation or something, I believe it was. And so they wanted to still have a coach representing the Wildcats. So Jerome Tang was on the show. We all know this past offseason, he talked with Arkansas. Ultimately, he decided to stay at Kansas State. And then fast forward, a week or two later, Arkansas hires Coach Cal. So just kind of crazy how the entire coaching carousel worked. But Tang stayed with the Wildcats. I want to play you this answer when Carrington asked him why he chose at K-State, and then remind you guys of a question that we all had. And I think we all answered it in a similar fashion a year or two ago. And now see if you would answer in the same way. But this was Jerome Tang on why he decided to stay in Manhattan.
My family and I, we love the town of Manhattan, and the K-State family has just embraced this as their own. And both of my kids are students here at K-State, and my parents moved from Florida to Manhattan. And so, this is where we call home. They make us feel like home. And, you know, as an assistant for a long time, I would watch other guys, you know, take jobs and then, like, move to other jobs. And I would always tell myself, you know, sometimes you just don't want to mess with happy. You know, and so we are happy, and we're excited to be here and happy to be a part of this great family.
So that was Jerome Tang on the drive yesterday. And look, when he was talking to Arkansas, I think you could kind of see a little bit what was going on. Like any coach opening or whatever, there's leverage that's being used. You are operating in the way you should if you're the agent for Jerome Tang or for any coach at the time, right? You use it as leverage. An opening, they want to talk to you. You talk to them. I mean, you have to accept it, but maybe it results in you getting a bump. We all know since then, Jerome Tang has gotten an extension with Kansas State. And there's also the dynamic at the time, too, what was going on and the feeling around the president at Kansas State and the relationship that he and Jerome Tang have, going back to meddling maybe in athletic department business too much. And that's that relationship with the athletic director is incredible, right? Gene Taylor and Jerome Tang are great friends.
Yeah.
And both have done an incredible job there. Gene Taylor hiring Kleiman, hiring Jerome Tang. They all, I believe, have gotten extensions at this point in time. And Jerome Tang last year, it was a rough season, 19-15. They finished ninth in the Big 12. They lost in the first round of the NIT. But there was a question we all asked in the middle of the 2022 season when Kansas State finished 26-10, they third in the Big 12. We all know ultimately they came up just short of a Final Four berth as they lost in the Elite Eight. And also in Columbia, you had Dennis Gates at that same year, 2022, doing great things with the Missouri Tigers. And so we asked a question then, which of the two was more likely to stay with their program and be there 4 or 5 years from now? And this was 2 years ago. At the time, I said Jerome Tang would stay in Manhattan longer because I said, well, he's a little bit older, more likely to be stable. Dennis Gates, young up-and-coming coach, could leave. Is that the answer you would still give now? Is it the same thing? Because I think Jerome Tang is not going anywhere. Mm. But now the question is, can Dennis Gates parlay what it looks like a really good recruiting class heading into this season? Can he parlay that into a bounce back year? Because last year, they didn't win a single conference game. Remember, they were 0-18 for Dennis Gates.
They
was
were close
in
a number
the
of times,
SEC.
But couldn't do it.
8-24 in the regular season after finishing 25-10 and losing in the round of 32 the year prior. So my answer, I think, is the same as it was 2 years ago, but for different reason. Before, I would have said it was because I would wonder if Dennis Gates would get another opportunity elsewhere. Now it's more like, hey, can he bounce back from last year and retain his job in that way? Whereas Jerome Tang, I think it's the same. He's staying in K-State as long as there's not an issue with the school president again.
Which I think if Dennis Gates, say he bounces back and say they make the NCAA tournament with the recruiting class that he's got, I think then that it introduces the question in a similar way that it did when you originally, you know, asked the question. When the question was originally posed, like, look, they both have made the NCAA tournament. They got good recruiting classes. Jerome Tang obviously is doing a great job in the portal. It makes the question a little bit more interesting. I do think I'm with you. Tang's more likely to stay because Dennis Gates is more likely to maybe lose his job at this point because he's on the hot seat very much so after last season alone, and then you pile on the draft classes or the recruiting class. If they don't make the NCAA tournament, he still might lose his job because the recruiting class is so good that they might already have that expectation. I don't know if that's fair to say about Dennis Gates or not.
It depends on what that looks like. Is it a year where things were going great and then suddenly they had a key injury and at the end of the season. And there's a reason for it. But yeah, I mean, look, they're not going to go winless in conference again. And certainly if they only win 5 or 6 games in conference play and they finish with 15 or 16 wins only, then he's probably in serious jeopardy of losing his job. But I just think the answer from 2 years ago is almost the same, but it's just different reason now.
Yeah, I think it is interesting that the way that the evolution of the SEC has gotten regarding basketball, too, Missouri at one point, you know, they were able to have it a little bit easier, I guess, if you will. People could say, because the SEC is not that good at basketball, but now they've got, you know, Auburn, Alabama's making a run to the Final Four, a run at a national title. LSU has traditionally been solid at basketball. Tennessee, obviously, very, very good. And you can just go down the line of other basketball programs in the SEC that have been pretty solid and gotten better. Florida has a good tradition there. Missouri is, you know, there's some pressure there, I think, to do better in the conference play alone. And while you're in a better conference, that doesn't change anything. It's more difficult maybe, but that doesn't mean that the pressure is a little bit lighter because they know that the conference is tougher. And if you don't do so well, they're okay with that. Like, the standard is still high for Missouri and they want to be able to win basketball games. In the recruiting class, getting a recruiting class that's part of the battle. You got to be able to actually go out and win the games and get the job done. And that'll be the big question this year for Missouri in particular.
And the transfer portal was something that both utilized heavily. It was the key to Jerome Tang in year one and why he was able to have a team go to
the
Elite Eight. He's been very good at that this year. Remember, was it $1 million? Some kid reportedly.
Coleman Hawkins, from Illinois.
From Illinois. Very pricey, I think, for the production he had last year at Illinois. But if they can get even more out of him, then of course it's a huge get for Jerome Tang and company. And the NIL is a huge reason for being able to make that happen, of course. So I thought that was just interesting from Jerome Tang yesterday. Full interview up on 610sports.com, the interview he gave with CDOT on the show. Coming up in a few minutes, text line's asking, are we getting Irish Drew in the near future? I think it was Scottish, wasn't it, yesterday?
It's a Scottish.
For the Open? Yes, we will have another Open leaderboard update from Drew Nixon. Sir Drew Nixon, I guess, as we coined it yesterday. Are you ready? Are you ready to go if we call on you for this?
I think so, yes.
The voice is ready?
Yes.
The leaderboard's ready? I see Shane Lowry's
been a lot of changes to the leaderboard from yesterday, so yes.
Okay, so we will have a Open leaderboard update in just a bit. But I did see something Major League Baseball is going to do next year, which I think is a no-brainer. You guys remember when the Rickwood Field game honoring the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum took place in Birmingham, Alabama, a couple weeks back? We said, man, that was just a great showcase. It got you to watch maybe a Thursday night regular season baseball game between two teams that in this area, you really don't have any reason to watch a Thursday night game, right? It was the Giants and it was the Cardinals. But the production that Fox put together was great. It was a great showcase. It was just a super cool tribute. And it also happened to be right around the time, of course, unfortunately, that Willie Mays had just passed away. And it really became a celebration of his life. So they hit it out of the park, no pun intended. But when you think about what the inventory is for Major League Baseball at the time, we said, look, you got 162 games for every team. There's no reason to not continue to create these specialty games, right? These packages, whether it's the Field of Dreams game, whether it's the Rickwood Field game. So I saw that Major League Baseball now is going to have a rivalry week in 2025. And I know the rivalries in baseball, there's very few that are all that intense these days, right? We know New York Yankees and Red Sox for example. The anytime you have the Dodgers and Yankees, that adds to it. You think about the Astros and Rangers, but the, you know, Cubs and White Sox, it's not the same as I think a rivalry in some of the NFL or college football circles, but they're going to have a rivalry week in 2025 during which all 15 series matchups are going to feature some form of a rivalry, whether it's geographical, the New York, New York set up, of course, with the Mets and the Yankees, LA, or historical Boston, Atlanta, or unfortunately you have like Seattle and San Diego. They're like, well, I guess you two are playing each other because there's really not any rivalry for either
maybe,
one of you.
Maybe it could spark something. I don't know.
But why not? Like, we can say like, you don't care. Why not try stuff like this? Especially now that interleague, like everybody's playing everybody anyway. It's not the same setup. Before it was always a big deal. That doesn't really exist. And so I do think it's a mistake a little bit, though, to have, you know, Mets, Yankees, and Braves, Red Sox instead of, you know, Mets, Braves, and Yankees, Red Sox. I mean, that's kind of silly to me. Like, I know they're going to play each other anyway, but
yeah,
why wouldn't that? That's the only complaint. Why wouldn't you have Yankees, Red Sox as the rivalry week game? They're mainly doing it off of geography. Royals, if you're wondering, of course, are going to play the Cardinals
in
this rivalry week in 2025. The 2025 schedule came out yesterday, and this rivalry week is going to be May 16th through the 18th.
I like it because it gives them something to tease, something to promote. I wonder if they would. What else could they do with this? That's what I'm intrigued by. Like, this obviously is good, but I wonder what else could they do, you know, creatively to entice you and I to watch baseball from a national perspective when it's not just the Royals, you know, like give me a reason to watch
playing in unique ballparks, different cities. You know, I won't go as far. I know Cody, he said, you know, play the game in even if it's, you know, random town in Iowa. I mean, the Field of Dream game works, but like,
I don't think playing in some of
the minor league cities, that's fine. But like, I don't need them playing in, you know, Salina, Kansas, obviously, or something extreme like that. Sorry, Salina. That was the city that came up. Yeah. No, I've been to Salina before. But if you want to play in Omaha, you want to play in Northwest Arkansas, whatever, they have done the Omaha thing before. I think that's what they got to continue to explore. This sport, it's not like NFL where fans will complain, oh, you're taking a home game away from us. There's plenty of games that are going to be played in your home ballpark where if you lost two to a random series in a different town, I don't think people are going to be complaining. You do it early in the year, too. You do it in May when attendance. How many times do we talk about attendance in May? Like, oh, the kids are still in school. The weather sucks. So, well, that's when you play these games in other markets, perhaps. Not in August when your team hopefully is, like this year, going to be in the middle of a playoff race and attendance is up and things like that. So I applaud baseball for doing the rivalry week. Why not? You got all the inventory. I don't know, to your point, though, am I going to be really enticed to watch Yankees and Mets May 17th? I don't know.
If it's on, it might be like background noise. I do think, though, to the point that you make about like the minor league stadiums, that would be really cool if there were 2 weeks where you hosted a series, like the Royals hosted a series in Omaha. The Dodgers have an affiliate in Tulsa. The Dodgers should go play in Tulsa. You know, give people a reason in Tulsa to like maybe root for the Dodgers a little bit more than hey, our players go they jump over to L.A. I mean, it's a long ways away, but give us a reason to do that. I'm from Indianapolis. We have the Indianapolis Indians. They are the AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh should go to Indy and play a series in Victory Field. Give people a reason in Indy to not root for the Cubs or the Reds, which is traditionally what people do. Give them a reason to watch Paul Skenes play in Indianapolis and cheer for the Pirates because they are, after all, the affiliate. I think that's something that you could, not from our interest, I guess, but from the smaller towns and cities that don't have Major League Baseball, give them a reason to follow the sport a little bit more.
I like this idea from the 913-586-7610. Someone says World Series rematches. You're asking for another ideas. Now, like, there's some tricky, I'm sure, logistical issues with some of that, but if you just knew for a weekend series or a weekday, fine. On a Tuesday, Wednesday, randomly in May, all of a sudden it was, I don't know, what would you, rematch week, World Series week, whatever. And yeah, so the Royals are playing the Mets that 2-day stretch while the Diamondbacks are playing the Astros, you know, or whoever, whatever, name your World Series rematch, right? The Diamondbacks are playing the Rangers. Sorry, not the Astros. Diamondbacks are playing the Rangers. The Royals are playing the Mets, or the Royals are playing the Giants, or the Cardinals would fit for both. Of course, they've played in the World Series, but you get the point. I think that's not a bad one. Would that intrigue you more if it was a World Series rematch? It's tough for baseball. It's just not the same vibe of a Super Bowl rematch from 3 years ago, you know, that we build up on Sunday Night Football. It's just never there's too many games still for it to feel that massive. But if you're trying to figure out different ways to get creative with this, when you have too many baseball games, 162, and they're never going to cut it down, it seems like, why not find these different ways? So
there's some really cool concepts if they just open up their parameters a little bit. Yeah.
Someone says behind, it was the minor leagues, and someone was talking about the minor leagues. They said, in my opinion, just drain money from the league. You say so? Yeah. Why they should play there? Yeah. I mean, I think the minor league cities would support it. Any time, there's even a Royals player that gets, you know, his injury rehab or whatever that happens to be playing in Omaha or playing at North. We've gone down to Fayetteville. Yeah. We did our whole Bobby Wood before he got called up. Remember, we did the Bobby Wood Jr. road trip. Drew, you weren't here yet, but we did a whole road trip with listeners down to Fayetteville. That was a fun experience. Imagine if there was a major league game there.
Well, I think in Tulsa, nobody, I highly doubt that there are many actual Dodgers fans in Tulsa, even though they are an affiliate.
But they
of
might
the
be
Dodgers.
Ohtani fans, might Correct. Be Freddie, or Freddie Freeman fans, Mookie Correct. Betts fans.
And I think it gives them more reason to cheer for the part. Like, again, I'm from Indianapolis. Nobody roots for the Pittsburgh Pirates in Indianapolis. Nobody. I saw Andrew McCutchen play for the Indians in Indianapolis. And when he went to Pittsburgh, it's cool, but you don't feel that rooting interest that could be there for a major league team that has been affiliated with your AAA ball club in Tulsa, in Indianapolis, in Omaha, et cetera.
I don't know if they would want to do it for divisional games, but you still play enough divisional games. I mean, the Wichita Wind Surge, their new stadium they have out in Wichita, they weren't the Marlins affiliate, but they're the Twins affiliate, I believe, now. Plenty of Royals fans in Wichita. Royals Twins game in Wichita, you know, whatever it may be, stuff like that. Why not? But I thought that was interesting from Major League Baseball. All right. The people are asking for it. They want to check in across the pond on the open.
Good morning from Royal Troon Golf Course in Troon, Scotland, the Open Championship in round two. Shane Lowry, the Irishman, solo leader at 7 under par. He is 2 under on the day. Some players struggling. Robert McIntyre at +8. The Scott, he was +1 yesterday. My mate is struggling today, not doing too well. Daniel Brown, Englishman, and Justin Rose are 2 and 3 on the leaderboard. Billy Horschel, the American, top American, at 2 under par. Tiger Woods, unfortunately for him and all the Tiger fans out there, shooting +6 today, 14 over. He will miss the cut and not make it to the weekend. John Daly withdrew, so Binks guy is out and will not be playing any more of his round. Some other notable names on the leaderboard, though. John Rahm at +3. Rory McIlroy is struggling himself. Justin Thomas at +4. Tyrrell Hatton at +4 as well. But again, the leaderboard, Shane Lowry, not to say he's running away with it, Alex, but it's looking like he is feeling very comfortable. For some reason, he just fits this tournament at the Royal Troon in Troon, Scotland, the Open Championship. We're heading into the weekend. We're going to have another update for you a little bit later.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you.
I'm going to go get me a pint.
I think you just like to say Royal Troon, as I said yesterday.
Royal Troon.
I think that's what you enjoy the most out of the entire thing. Someone says, Drew, concentrate, buddy. Concentrate.
I held it together after the first
5 seconds. I was nervous you weren't going to make it through. And then you settled in, you know, you settled in a little bit. It's easier to do the accent if you do it angry. you earned yourself another update with the performance yesterday. That's why we're doing it again today.
Robert McIntyre, man, dude, he was off to a terrible start.
Shane Lowry, 7 under, huh?
Oh, he's
69 today. Is that right?
69, and then Daniel Brown is at 5 under, nice. And then Justin Rose still playing. He's at 4. He's through 14. Is at 3 under par. So they're not to say they're running away with it because stuff can change. But
someone said Hallmark should have known Drew is the real talent. Should have casted you as an extra. They're saying as well.
The random Scott Chiefs fan. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah, the accent will be heard again, I'm guessing, in the noon hour today. We'll have to see if Jake Eisenberg likes your accent or not. Somebody yesterday said you should do soccer play-by-play with that accent. So I want to get Eisenberg's thought on
no Mr. way play-by-play. In hell I could last 90 minutes. I'm sorry. I'd last maybe 5.
That's going to be a drop now. But yeah, thank you for that. Thank you. Appreciate that. You see, the thing is, when I say there's a drop and it's involving Drew, he won't cut a drop of himself usually.
No, I normally that's do.
That's the problem. He'll make drops of us, but it's hard to get a drop of you saying something. Someone said they think you got a little hint of Hogwarts from Harry Potter going in your accent. So they think there's a little mix of that in there.
Oh, my goodness.
913-586-7610. People were pleasantly surprised yesterday with the update that you gave. I think you surprised some people. Yeah. Thank you. Saved it. It's in the system. Good to go.
5 minutes calling a soccer match.
Okay. That's what you mean.
I should have specified.
Uh-huh. You should have. Real quick, did you see that once again, Travis Kelce is finding ways to be involved with anything? And that's the era that we're currently in. The Kelce brothers have a Kelce Mix cereal. Travis and Jason cereal. It's called Kelce Mix. Guess what it is? Reese's Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Lucky Charms. This was just announced yesterday. I guess it'll be on store shelves very soon. We know Mahomes had his own cereal.
I like Lucky Charms, but that might ruin it. Like Reese's Puffs.
Oh, do you like Lucky Charms? I could tell based off of your update.
Reese's Puffs and Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I think actually might not be a bad combo.
Look, I mean, this is just diabetes cereal city right there.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, why not?
You're not eating this with milk?
I don't use milk with cereal.
What?
I don't really eat cereal all that often.
Are there specific cereals where you don't use milk? Or is it
anytime
you have cereal, you just...
I use milk with cereal maybe when I was little for a little bit, and that's it. And now,
really?
If I don't eat cereal a whole lot to begin with. And if I do, it's just Cheerios. I don't know if I've talked about this with you. Yeah. Just plain Cheerios. But it's not like I just sit at home. And when I wake up in the morning, I don't just pour a bowl of plain Cheerios and just sit there. I just don't. Sometimes in the office here, we have those like miniature cups of cereal, you know. And so before the show, I might snack on and I'll just use a couple handfuls right out of the little, you know, just like one of those mini ones. And I don't put milk in that.
So the only cereal that I will not eat milk with is Honey Nut Cheerios. I love Reese's Puffs are great with milk. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, great with milk. I can't eat those without milk.
I mean, Cinnamon Toast Crunch with the Lucky Charms, that's a good combo, like you said. Add the Reese's Puffs. I'm sure it's fantastic. It's just, who's serving their kids this in the morning before school? That's what I want to know.
No, it was not Irish, by the way. It was Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
The Open Championship at Royal Troon in Scotland.
That text came in after I said Lucky Charms, and you must like Lucky Charms after the update. I think that's what they were referencing.
Lucky Charms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Up next, though, we get to the 11 o'clock hour. We'll keep an eye on some of the comments from Mark Donovan as he's expected to speak in the 11 o'clock hour. Plus, why this September could be the best we've ever seen here in Kansas City, and also where things are headed with Division I in college football. But how about all of sports? There's a new proposal out. We'll tell you what it is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.